Welcome to Project Joy Radio Show, and good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Very good. So, our assignment for today, our practice focus for this call, is our quote from Charles Darwin. "It is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change. Today, change one small habit and watch what happens. Record and listen as you change the habit, and again, right after you make the change. What did you notice?" So one thing about that for me, Sherry, was just the going about my day and being aware of what I'm doing and looking for those little places of where the habits are residing is a powerful practice in and of itself, it seems.
Yes. Yes, the looking for them. We have to be so present, huh, to see them.
Exactly.
To recognize them.
Yep.
Because it's that assuming. Right? That we know that assumptions are so deadly because we can't recognize them. That's the nature of an assumption, right?
Yeah.
And so that sort of habit of unconscious habit of how we see something or how we do something falls right in that category, doesn't it? So there
it
you
sure
are.
With
you. I picture you with your deerstalker hat and magnifying glass and here we go out into the day.
Yeah, because when the question first comes up to change a habit, conditioning replies with, well, what habits? Like
right. Said, I've improved myself so much, I don't think I have any more bad habits that I need to get rid of.
Yeah. And when I get out the magnifying glass, it becomes really clear that that's just not true. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Shall we look to see what folks are noticing?
See what people have been up to.
Let's do.
Hello.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, this is Anne from England. I'm just checking in. You can hear me okay?
Yes, you sound like you're next door, so perfect.
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What have you been seeing about change?
Well, a lot, actually. And feels like a lot, but when I try and think about what I want to talk about, it's kind of hard to pinpoint. So I was trying not to be discursive about it before I pressed *6. I thought, I'm just going to say what comes up. So here goes. So I was thinking about what's made the biggest change to habits for me, not just with this exercise, but in the last 4 months, I would say, in particular. And this is something I'm really, really grateful for. And you're probably going to laugh because you think, well, is it only 4 months, Anne? But it's recording and listening. because
4 months of recording and listening is enough to change a life, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think in the last 4 months, it's been particularly strong. So I'm really, really grateful, Sherry. Thank you so much, because it feels like it's the keystone for me now.
Yeah, me too.
And meditation obviously is right up there, but this little thought came into my mind when I was thinking about how I would describe it for me. And you know how we talk about stupid dust, EKC, putting stupid dust on us?
Mm-hmm.
This little thought came in my mind, recording and listening feels like bodhisattva dust. Or fairy dust, I don't know. Just feels like, it feels like... It's the thing that has opened my heart the most.
Yes, and you know what you say, and of course meditation is right up there. Recording and listening, at least I think this is the case, is one of the big supports for practices like meditation, right?
Yes.
Because it keeps us in an internal conversation or a conversation with the mentor about meditation and how important it is, and remembering to prioritize it, and remembering all of the things that are true for us about meditation. So it's my experience, too, that the recording and listening is the most powerful support for doing everything else that we want to do to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly how I wish I'd said it. Yes, that's it, yeah.
Well, you did. I just basically reflected it.
Okay, then, yeah. Yes, that's exactly, Sherry. Yeah, that's it. It's just amazing. And I think what helped me to see the recorded listening, I was looking last October what habits I wanted to change. It's funny because this has been a big thing. We're working on habit today. And I was thinking in the bigger picture, last October I decided to do the book on the 30-day retreat, Compassionate Self-Discipline, yeah. Make a Change for Good, that's the one. And I've never used it. I kind of feel I'm using all your books retrospectively because I've come to live in compassion so late in my life. And I swear I'm really, really grateful because it feels like it's opened my heart massively. It's just like, to try and put it in words would be really hard. But physically, it feels like my breastbone has been just lifted and opened, and it's like a great vulnerability, but a strong sense of groundedness and confidence at the same time.
Well, it's interesting. It sounds like what has happened to you is you do a kind of lifetime of practice to get ready for the thing that is just going to do what you just described, you know, that moment when it sort of all comes together and everything opens up ahead of you. It takes a lot of preparation for us to get to that point where we can see it all and see where we need to go and to say yes to that. And then the opening is just tremendous, isn't it?
Yes, and it's like what you say, it's where life shows you the next thing to do and the next thing to do. And so that one habit of not listening to EKC about not, EKC had fooled me into thinking I was recording and listening, and I was to a certain extent, but not really. Yeah. And I made that commitment, the 30-day retreat, and EKC just came at me from every angle. Every angle. It was just like, you know how you say when you practice, like your hair is on fire, EKC equally matches up, and it's quite a scary place, isn't it? You know, it's... Yeah. It goes underground, comes out at night time, no sleep at night time, important to meditate at night time and listening to your recordings at night time. That was really helpful, massively helpful. I think that came on the radio show back in 2012. There was a radio show that was almost lost, and it turned out to be, I think it was the 16th of October 2012, followed by the 6th of November 2012. There's two shows on recording and listening that I just found so helpful in the last month. That just reminded me, those two dates stick out if anyone wants to go back and look at them, but it's all about, you know, what we talk about, recording, listening, importance. And they really helped me to kind of things like when I wasn't sleeping at night, just to listen to my recordings, and that, you know, the habit of not listening to EKC can also be a habit at night time when you're twisting and turning and not sleeping. So, yeah, it's a new habit for me, which I've really, really embraced, and it's been phenomenal. It's just changed my life so much, you know, really has. So thank you so much.
Those changes that change so much, right? Because when we're talking about, you know, the changing a small thing, because it's a process, right? We're getting the hang of changing things, of making choice instead of just going with habit. But the way you're describing it, this decision that you made, I can only guess it dropped in to do the making a change for good, that sort of thing. It's a change that brings about so much change.
Yeah.
We almost can't recognize ourselves with everything that's kind of up in the air and then coming together in different configurations. And once we realize that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is on the run, is really scrambling, because it's realizing that we have taken the reins and we're making the choices now. It's a very exciting process. It's that what you say, that, you know, your breastbone lifts and everything opens because now you're the one making the choices, and that's exciting.
It's really exciting. And when Ashwini said on the radio show one day that she said something, it was like a koan almost for me. It was like she said, you're either in EKC or you're in unconditional love. There isn't anything else. And my mind couldn't, my mind just scrambled, and I couldn't make sense of it. My mind went up to scramble. And I thought, right, this is a so now I know when I'm not in unconditional love, if I'm not in unconditional love, I have to be in EKC if I'm not able
That's
to.
That's right. That's right. And that's so helpful, isn't it? Because what it does for us, even if I'm just going along kind of caught up in some conversation in my head, and it's not a horrible conversation. It's not a hateful conversation, but it's just this little, and then what do I do after that, and what about them, and that sort of thing. What I know is I'm not in unconditional love. Therefore, though nothing in me would recognize this as a conditioned place to be in or a conditioned orientation, I know I am because I'm not in unconditional love.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of simplifies
it. Simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, it simplifies it, and it's an embodiment of unconditional love. It just feels like a physical shift, you know, and just... It's really, really, so I'm really thankful to Sangha and you and Ashwini and Chris and everyone because, like you say, all of us together sharing practice kind of helps you to witness something that someone else can then witness, and it just goes round and round in you know, gratitude and
all of us lifting ourselves and one another up.
It's massive. So thank you so much. And thank you. And that 30-day, that book is really what really helped me. It was another big movement. So I'd recommend people to, if they habit changing, because it's about compassionate habit changing, isn't it? It's not about habit changing.
Yeah. And that 30 days, being able to practice with it every day for 30 days really strengthens, solidifies, doesn't it? Concrete sort of a way, but solidifies in a, as you say, that felt sense, you know, you can feel yourself shift to another orientation.
So thank you so much.
Good evening.
Good evening, and enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll see you in a few months, hopefully. That's the plan.
All right.
Thank you both very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anne. Sure, that seems really great. Just such a simple reminder, that simple check-in. If I'm not experiencing unconditional love, then perhaps egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is up to something. It just seems really, as you say, makes it so simple and not a place to go to self-hate with any of that information, but to use that to just fuel up the practice.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You said the key right there, no self-hate, right? And one of the things I think that we run into really quickly is the argument that starts. Well, but I don't know that that's ego, because wouldn't ego, you know, that's ego.
There we are, yeah.
Arguing for ego, yeah. Yeah. So no self-hate, just watching, just noticing.
Yep. Seems really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's check in with our next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Carol from Washington. And
hello, Carol.
Hi. I'm glad to get on the air. I made a commitment to try to get in the queue every day until I got on the air. So here I am. And
you'll still stay with us even after you got on the air, right?
Well, it's so funny because I got in the queue, and as soon as I got in the queue, there was this message that says, "You have been removed from the queue." And so I thought, oh, good. That's like I don't have to keep my commitment to call in. And I thought, well, no, I'm not really going to do that. So I got in the queue again, and here I am. So
it's fascinating, isn't it? It is so fascinating to be here and just watch all this all this stuff that goes on that's meant to be under the radar, but we're getting to see it, and we just think, wow, that's what's been ruining and ruling my life before I caught on to it.
Right. Yeah. So my commitment is to get in the queue every day, and so I've been watching what is it like when I'm in the queue, you know, and a lot of it is it's difficult for me to pay attention, or I'll find myself rehearsing, and so I'll see that, or Eagle will say, well, this is not fair, why are these other people, so that whole thing, so I'm just watching that whole thing, and then trying to bring tenderness toward myself about, you know, not being fully present, because I'm, you know, concocting what I'm going to say, so,
Well, it's so powerful, right, especially in light of what we were just talking about. You're either caught in ego or you're in unconditional love. And I am projecting that what you're doing is practicing staying in awareness, which is a synonym for unconditional love, of course. So you're sitting there aware of what's happening to this human being.
Yes.
Right? She really wants to be here. She really wants to be paying attention, be present. And there's this deep, forceful habit to go to conditioned mind and watch it rehearse and just all of its little games to pull a person out of the present. That's excuse me, that's the point of what we're doing. Right? That's the workshop right there.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a workshop every day. And the other thing when we started this, I did the first three or four times, I just felt so eager to talk, and I wasn't able to talk on the air. So what I was doing right afterwards, I would record what I wanted to say. So that was really a fun thing to do, because I got to express it, even though I didn't get on the air.
What a great tip. What a great tip. If anybody doesn't know what to record about what we're doing here, there you are, right? You can record what you wanted to say. You can record the insights from what somebody else had to say. And the one thing that I want to underline for you before we go on to whatever you want to say next is, as you're doing this practice that you're describing, be sure that you are remembering, put a little note up in front of you, okay, that you're remembering to give attention out of the corner of your eye, but to be aware of what it feels like to be in awareness. Because that's what you're doing. You're dropping into awareness to watch all of that stuff go on. And that's a really important part of practice, to get a feel for, this is what it feels like to be in awareness, watching what conditioned mind is doing, rather than being engaged or involved at all.
Okay. I'll do that. That's kind of hard to understand, because what my experience is, conditioning will say something, and then I'll have that little bit of a thing where I go, well, I'll react to it, you know, or I'll get identified with it, and then I'll kind of let go of that, and then something else will happen, and then I'll let go of that.
Here's the magic.
Okay.
The proof that you are in awareness is that you can describe that in great detail.
Thank you.
if you, in quotes, were any part of that process that you're describing, you would be seeing it from that perspective.
Okay.
But in fact, you are dropped back into awareness and watching each aspect of ego interacting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Now, of course, we can do that anytime, right? We can practice directing our attention and then realizing that, I have to drop back into awareness. Too bad about that eye, but it's necessary to drop back into awareness to watch the process of volitionally directing the attention and what happens, and then watching what turning to conditioned mind and what conditioned mind is. We can do that anytime. But what you're describing being on this call makes it a very specific time and place where you know that that's happening, so you can you can really be aware of it.
Let's see, the other thing about habits, I have this habit, well, I've been meditating for a couple of years now, and I do it every single day, and but I have this, I think I have this habit of not paying attention to my breath, and I've kind of developed that, and so anyhow, I understand that everything that we get or all the practices are all guidance and there's nothing rigid about it. But I think I've been bringing some kind of rigidity to my meditation, and I didn't want that. So, and there's that kind of, well, you're not paying attention to your breath, so you're doing it wrong. So I just thought, and you're supposed to do this. And so I just started saying thank you, thank you, thank you to myself. Even though that's breaking the rules, because I just wanted to recognize my willingness to come to the cushion and do it every single day, no matter, I can't see what it's doing. You know,
oh, I can. Anytime you're confused, I can help you see it. And that is really perfect, because what we just talked about with realizing that you're dropping into awareness, the same thing is happening to you when you're sitting. Mm-hmm. So the next phase of that is, rather than entertaining any of that, you know, believing it or getting caught up or needing not to believe it or that, to just realize that you can just sit there and be aware of all of that happening. And here's the really, truly beautiful part. You can be aware of the breath as you're aware of all of that happening. And of course you want attention to be with the breath, and you can do that. That's what you're practicing, right? The awareness, the realization that the awareness that you're sitting in is aware of all of that, and you don't need to be engaged with any of it. You just watch what ego does and what the voices say and that sort of thing, just like you're watching a movie.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, this is great, and I'm so glad it's all recorded so I can listen to it again.
That's right. That's very helpful. Because sometimes it's hard to take it in right there when we're in the conversation. All right. Thank you, Carol.
So much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. And, Sherry, I think we can sneak in one more caller here.
I bet so, Chris. Thank you.
Hold on. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island in Washington State.
Well, hello, Jennifer.
Well, hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, I chose a habit that is very deeply ingrained. Every day I eat a little bit of chocolate. And as soon as it dropped in that might be one I could just not do on yesterday or today, a huge storm of conversation arose, trying to negotiate some different thing or maybe just have it later in the day, all kinds of bargainings, and also this sort of panic, like I'll just die without it. And then I said, too bad, and I just didn't have it. And the interesting thing to me was afterwards, dead silence, just quiet, and this feeling like, oh, I don't have to do that every day. I'm in charge.
So two things about that, Jennifer, that I just love. One is the way you describe that, you know, the stages of dying.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching ego go through the stages of dying. It's bargaining, it's depressed, it's angry. And then the second piece of that is such an important aspect of practice, and that is getting to that place of realizing that sacrificing ego to life gives us a better feeling, a more joyful feeling than anything that ego could get us to do or have. So it's promising us, if you eat that chocolate, you will feel, now it's never going to say this, but those of us who are doing practice know this is what it's promising. You will feel a way that actually you can never feel until you are present and making a choice, a conscious choice from your heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's holding it out as this is so fabulous that you cannot miss it for a day, when really it's hiding what you're missing.
Exactly. That's so powerful, isn't it? I mean, people just stay trapped in addictions because that belief is so powerful in them that this whatever this content is going to provide for them the very thing that they have given up in order to give their lives to that addiction. That was a complex sentence, but I know you followed it. Yeah,
I know exactly. So many things are falling in that have been said previously about, you know, addictions, that you go away from what it is you want, seeking what it is you want.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is, and
we all do it until we get to this chocolate point of, you know, I hope we're being really clear about this, that self-improvement, self-hate is never going to take us to that place. It's just not. Deprivation is never going to take us to that place. What takes us there is do that thing until you get to the point that you just described, where we think, well, I'm not sure about that. I want to see what happens if I don't do it.
Yeah.
That's the power place.
Yeah.
That's when we're stepping into a relationship with life that really takes care of us and gives us the life that we've been seeking. But until we reach that point where, as you're describing, this experiment, this experience is for you. You want to do it because you want to find out what's actually going on.
Right.
Right. That's the, you do the thing and you have the power.
And what actually is going on is nothing what conditioning was saying. It's nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. In fact, instead of dying, there's this huge surge of energy because you know that the power has come to you.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Great. Thank you.
Love it. Thank you. Now you can eat chocolate whenever you want.
Exactly.
Right? Because there's nothing inherently bad about chocolate.
No,
right?
No. Especially the tiny amount I eat. It's not about the chocolate.
That's it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jerry, one fun thing that was dropping in for me was something along the lines of life is always providing what conditioning says is missing.
Yes. Ooh, I hope somebody writes that down, Chris. That's a peace quote. Life is always providing what ego says is missing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Came right out of that conversation, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the always. You know, we're told not to say always and never. But there are some things like that where always is the correct word. There are some things that are always and never, and that's one. Life is always providing.
Yeah. So, again, it can become one of those little check-in places. If it feels like something's missing, I can begin to look for where in life that's being provided. You know, where in my current experience is that actually being provided? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the answer is always going to be, right here.
Right here.
in this very questioning. Huh, there it is.
We're suspicious.
Yeah. Good. That's great.
All right, well, I have our assignment for tomorrow.
All right.
Three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. Henry James. Today, notice kindness wherever you encounter it. Record and listen every time you notice any kindness, large or small. At the end of the day, record and listen about how it feels to have focused on kindness all day long.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had the experience just listening to you read that. Yeah.
Of what it's like to focus on kindness.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
You know, look for it. Large, small, anywhere it is. If you don't see any, then add some.
That's great. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
That'll work.
All right. Well, let's meet again tomorrow.
I think we shall.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Till then. Yeah, thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.